I'm Kurt Hitchcock, and this is Footsteps. As the war in Syria drags on, refugees continue to flee the country in order to escape almost certain death. Muhammad and his family were fortunate to leave the chaos and come to the United States in 2016. Tragically, all Syrian refugees without a prior connection to the United States are now banned from entering the country. Muhammad and his family lived in the small village of Umwalad in the Dara region of Syria. His village was for months bombed by Syrian and Russian air forces. The attacks became so relentless, their family literally needed to leave their village in the morning and walk to another one to avoid being hit by bombs. They returned when possible at night to see if their home was still standing.
Sometimes in morning or at night, we don't know when we leave in my village. We go to another village. We stay there. If he stop his bomb, we return in my village. Maybe 2 months or 3 months, like that. Every day we go another village.
Finally, after one of his sons was hit by shrapnel from an exploding bomb and finding three unexploded bombs inside his home, Muhammad, along with his father, made the difficult decision to leave Syria and seek refuge in Jordan.
And in my home, we have three bombs in my home. After that, my father, he said, go to Jordan. Yeah, when he said that, I take my family, my son and my wife, and go to Jordan.
He and his family spent just a few weeks at the Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan. From there, they were moved to Ajloun, a small hill town city in the northeastern part of Jordan. For three long years, they lived in the shadows and faced discrimination just because they were refugees.
Because the Syrian people, when he coming to Jordan, he's coming refugee.
Yes.
The Jordan people, some, not all, some people, not all, maybe the all is good, but some people, he said, you're a refugee. Mm-hmm. Why you work here? Why you coming here?
Not knowing anyone, not being able to work at the risk of being deported, or being able to send his sons to school, day-to-day life was difficult. Yet Muhammad and his family bonded together with the belief that better days were ahead. After about a year of living in Ajloun, there was a ray of hope.
After like 1 year, when I go to Jordan, after 1 year, he called me, you in United Nations. Are you want go refugee to another country? Yeah, I said, yes, please, if you have, yeah. He said, okay. After that, I start an interview with the United Nations.
After 3 years living in Ajloun, Muhammad connected with a friend of his from Syria. He was now living in the village of Doga, outside the largest city in Jordan, Erbid, and encouraged Muhammad and his family to relocate there. And they did.
We don't go any other place. After that, I know some people is Erbid in my village, and I know people from Jordan. He said, come here, why you sit in Ajloun? Ajloun, that's a mount, big
Jibal,
mountain. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's big, yeah, and it's cool in winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go to Jordan. I go to Irbid city. I live there like 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, but I am happy there in Irbid city.
Much happier.
Yes. This village is named Doga.
Life was better in Dogo, but as he patiently continued to go through the interviewing process with the UN and the United States, Muhammad knew it was just a stopping off point. He did not know where his family would eventually end up, but had faith it would all work out for his family. And it did.
Oh, I am happy. Yes.
Hit
yeah.
you then.
Yeah, like what I said, الحلم شو بقولوا له؟
A dream.
We live a new life.
On July 13th, 2016, Muhammad's family left Jordan, and after a long flight through Cairo, they landed at JFK in New York. They were transported from there to the Lancaster Airport, where they arrived exhausted and somewhat bewildered. There they were met by Christine, a tremendously dedicated member of the Church World Service team, along with Jobber, an Iraqi volunteer who had only been in the United States for 2 months and spoke Arabic, Muhammad's native language. After meeting Jobber, I understood why Church World Service asked him to join Christine to meet Muhammad and his family. He's a big, strong, outgoing guy who loves people and has a burning desire to help others. He insists this desire is something he learned from the Americans he worked with at the U.S. Embassy and who were instrumental in helping him escape Iraq, where he was a target and survived a bomb blast that nearly killed him.
Christian, before tell me, he said, Jay, I have an Arabic family coming in. I tell him, yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
I go with you and just translate. When he coming, okay. People, I'm telling him, anyone.
So, Christine. Okay, Christine Bear.
Tall woman.
Yes.
She
Christine
Bear.
Okay.
Yeah. Christine and have help team. You know, right. Waiting people nighttime.
Right.
Tell me welcome.
Welcome team.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Welcome team. Right.
Right.
And I go with Christine. Like I go with Abu Ahmed. Ahmed from Syria, and I go Ali Nasif. I help when he come in, and I tell him you welcome. I translate something. These people coming in, I'm coming only, stay here only 2 months. Uh-huh. All these people come, I'm telling them, hey guys, I'm same like you. Uh-huh. I'm telling them, hey guys, listen up. No, be scared, everything good.
Right.
These people nice.
Right.
Everybody find job, no worry. Just I tell him, you know,
right.
Because this is a new life.
Right.
You need somebody tell him something good, you know, because
right.
These people are coming in scared, you know.
Right.
It's a different life,
sure.
A different language. And tell him, hey guys, I speak same like you. No worry about anything.
No, when I see Jabir, I rest.
I felt comfortable, or I felt peace.
Yeah, when I see Jabir, I feel peace. When I see Jabir, like we don't see anybody there in New York airport, New York, or here when I but when I saw Christine. She's smile. All of them, he's welcome. You welcome. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he take my son. Yeah, he's bring my son. Yeah.
Their spirits and energy somewhat boosted from their meeting with Christine and Jobber, they headed to their new home in Lancaster. When they arrived, they found it was all ready to be moved into, thanks to the hard work of John, an Indian man whose real name is also Muhammad, and who works with the Islamic Center of Lancaster. John has a wonderful gift of hospitality, and he loves to laugh. People can't help but feel at ease around him. He recalls his first impression of Muhammad and his family.
They were scared. Mm-hmm. Especially the kids, the little one,
mm-hmm.
was very much, I don't know the word how to explain, but I feel they were scared.
From day one meeting Muhammad and his family, John offered both his special brand of hospitality and caring, mixed with no-nonsense practical advice on living in the new culture of America.
And then I told them, first you have to learn English. Mm-hmm. The basic thing, if you don't know English, you will be mute.
Right.
And driving, second thing.
Right.
Because if you don't know driving, you will be lame. Mm-hmm. Nobody is there for, because everybody is busy with their work.
Right.
So don't be dependent on anybody. Whenever right. I gave you this 1 month time, mm-hmm. I will teach you everything.
Especially John. He can every day, he's coming my home and he take me Walmart or any store. Mm-hmm. He learned me about driver license.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he taught you how to drive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me all things, anything, yeah.
Initially, Muhammad and his wife, Muradi, faced a big challenge with their youngest son, Mustafa. He was severely traumatized by his experience in Syria, along with the overall chaos his family had been through the past 4 years. He was fearful and needed to be near one of his parents at all times to feel secure. When it was time to start school, he could not go by himself. For that reason, Muhammad needed to accompany Mustafa to school every day for the first 3 months.
Son, I have one son, is small, it's 5 years. When we coming, he don't want to school, he don't want to go to school.
I remember seeing that report yes, on WGA.
And, yes, after that, I 3 months, I go every day to school with my son. After that is good, very, very good, yeah, now.
So he goes every day and you don't have to take him?
Yes, now is very, very, very good, yeah.
The family needed a source of income, so Muradi went to work first at Zips Dry Cleaners in Lancaster, a company that has a relationship with the Lancaster Islamic Center. Only after Muhammad knew Mustafa was doing much better and enjoyed going to school by himself, did he also start to work at Zips. Muhammad did very well from day one working at Zips. Like many refugees, learning English was his biggest challenge, but he persevered, learning every job function at Zips. In reward for his hard work, Muhammad has been promoted several times and is an extremely valuable employee to the company.
So, you and your wife are working at the same location.
Yes.
And you got a promotion to a more responsible position. What about the job was the most difficult thing to really learn?
Just the language. But after that, I learned all things.
Okay.
Now I can do anything in store.
Every aspect of really the operation.
Yes.
And now, are you dealing directly with customers?
Yes. Some people now, he know me.
Okay.
When he coming to the store, when he see me, he said, hey, assalamu alaikum.
After about 3 months of working with Muhammad's family, John helped Muhammad get his driver's license. Based on past experience working with refugee families, John knew this was going to be the time most families were ready to be on their own. Although not seeing them day to day, he continues to stay very much in touch with them. Their life story touched him deeply.
And then one day I asked Muhammad, Allah, you don't know how we struggle over there.
Mm-hmm.
Every time when you are sleeping, we don't know whether we will get up in the morning or not. So I work full fledged with Ma. Yeah, they trust me, you know. Like when he passed the driving license.
Okay.
When we gave him the van, so from that day he's not bothering me that much. he tells me all the time, why don't you are not coming to my house? I told, listen, I gave you the time. At that time I was free.
Right.
I just.
Right.
Keep you time for you. Yes. Now I'm busy. I have to do business.
I'm helping somebody else.
The Lancaster Islamic Center has helped many refugees get started in building new lives in a foreign country. Wonderful people like John have walked closely with refugees to help them get their feet on the ground, including the extraordinary step of providing vehicles to every refugee they work with at no charge.
When he passed the driving license,
okay.
When we gave him the van,
okay.
And
so the Islamic Center gave him a van.
Yeah, for every refugee, van, one car, maybe some families have two.
Mm-hmm.
Depend how much big the family is.
That's right. When I get the driver license, he said, "Now I won't go, and I have my job, but use my car. When you get a car, give me my car." Yeah, I take a car. John, yeah, he give me a car, and like 2 weeks. After that, yeah, Islamic Center, he's give me a car.
Mohammed has come a long way from his war-torn life in Syria. Amazingly, his spirit has remained strong throughout. With the help and care of many people and his forward-looking, persevering attitude, Mohammed's chances for building a successful life in America, according to Amr Al-Fayyath, a senior manager at Church World Service, who has seen many refugees resettle in the United States, are very good.
Position or like, you know, my work, like when you first meet people, like you can tell like who's gonna try to thrive,
right,
and who's gonna like kind of sit back and like keep thinking about the past,
right?
Like people like him, like the past is past. Let's move on,
right,
like to the future, right. Brighter future and better future for him.
Right.
Yes. So I wish him and I believe like he will succeed.
I hope and my son is go to the college, and I hope in the future if I can bring my father and my mother.